Steve, first and foremost, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
You know, I'll tell you, every year, I liken you and your operation to kind of a fine wine, where every year you just seem to get better and better and better. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you keep topping what you do the years before, but six individual grade one winners, ultra impressive, my friend.
Thank you very much. Obviously, we're very proud of the opportunities we've been given and try to make the most of it.
When you look back on this year and when the dust will settle, I don't know if you get time to actually sit back and reflect on what happened here in 2019, but when you think back on this year and everything you've accomplished, what are some of the things that initially jump out to you that you're most proud of?
Well, the opportunities with Midnight Vasu and Mattoli and hoping and expecting them to have year-end championship honors is hard to match, you know. So I think that is the most significant thing is with both of those winning eclipses this year.
Yeah, so many people have said Mattoli should be in the horse of the year discussion, and I'm sure as his trainer, you're probably going to agree with that sentiment. Why should Mattoli be in that discussion?
Well, we could stick out a graph of who he beat this year and who the other horse of the year contenders beat this year and see who's more deserving.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's really the way you have to look at it. Talking with Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Steve, also a very busy day for you coming up on Saturday afternoon here with a couple of young horses going in the graded stakes at Churchill Downs, Silver Prospector looking toward the Kentucky Jockey Club, and Finite in the Goldenrod. Why don't we start with the ladies first and talk about Finite a little bit?
Well, another talented homebred of Winchell's, which her run in the Rags to Riches was excellent, and this being her first opportunity at two turns, pretty concerned with the pending weather. Looks like we are going to get more than a little bit of water and how she will handle that. But she is definitely a very nice race mare, and her Rags to Riches showed us how fast she's capable of being over a distance of ground.
When you have a talented filly or a talented colt, like, say, Silver Prospector, when you have a horse like that and they're young, and you talk about the weather conditions and maybe having to run on what could be a very wet racetrack, a sloppy racetrack, whatever it might be, are you anxious about those moments, or are you kind of anticipating, almost looking forward to what they can do over a racetrack like that?
A high confidence level in the surface being wet at Churchill. I think our first concern is always that. Churchill Downs handles water extremely well, and I think that we'll have that variable takes care of itself. I think on an off racetrack, though, little things are exaggerated. Just hopefully you're away cleanly, somewhat of a decent trip. Not everybody runs into the off going the same, and it usually changes some people's tactics because of the off going. So the unforeseen is your worry.
How about the inside post position? Does that change anything going a mile and a 16th at Churchill in terms of what you'll tell Ricardo before the race?
From what we've seen of her in the past, where she drew wasn't going to have a lot to do with where she was early in a race. So you just want her to be away cleanly. More of what we're used to, how tiring the racetrack is and how it's playing, will be, you know, you'll monitor that and see as the day goes along exactly how aggressive we feel we should be with her.
You know, I started by talking about the success you've had this year, and of course, you know, second all time in terms of number of wins in our sport, which is ultra impressive in its own right. But this horse, Finite, is owned in part by your good friend and longtime client, Ron Winchell and Winchell Thoroughbreds. Tell me a little bit about that relationship and what it means when you get another big horse for Ron.
Long-term relationships like that in racing is, you know, rare, and for us to have some of the champions that we've had, Untappable and the amazing run that Gunrunner, in partnership with Three Chimneys, put us on and stuff, it's what you dream about growing up in this as a kid, and for the long-term kind of association between the Winchell family and mine goes back to when I was in school. My father started horses for Ron's dad in the 80s, and it has continued to now, which is very special, especially in this day and age.
Yeah, it certainly is. Turn our attention to the Kentucky Jockey Club. Silver Prospector, not quite as accomplished as Finite is on the filly side of things, but he's a horse that has shown plenty of ability, especially when you moved him over to the main track. Tell me about him.
Right. Declaration of War. Trained well on the dirt, expecting him to run on the turf, and he ran reasonable, but he's obviously been better on the dirt. I thought he ran a very fast race and a very competitive maiden race at Keeneland, wheeled back in the street since on somewhat short notice, way better timing going into the Kentucky Jockey Club, but came out of the street since in good shape, has put in good training. Nothing but respect for how talented the field the Kentucky Jockey Club is, but we're expecting his best race to date.
And, you know, you've partnered quite often over the years with Ricardo Santana Jr. It's been a great relationship, much like you have with Ron Winchell, but you have this relationship with Ricardo on the jockey side of things. Why is he kind of your go-to rider, if you want to look at it in that fashion?
Well, we're looking for, we've talked about doing better than you've done before, and that is our goal, and being able to learn together and move forward and try to improve doing this. I think that not starting over all the time helps us to get in that direction with the whole stable. And I don't think, obviously Ricardo has an elite level of a natural talent, and both of us have a very similar approach. And no matter how good we've done, we want to do better, and we will continue to do that.
Yeah, I love that you say those words, and I love to hear you talk about your approach. I'm curious about your approach. When you get a young horse into your barn, you start working with them for the first time, and you're trying to figure them out a little bit. What's the Steve Asmussen approach or philosophy to working with young horses?
Well, you know, first of all, we're just blessed with tremendous opportunities, and it's quite obvious we get extremely talented horses to begin with. You're not going to run for them. But I think that our job is to mentally and physically prepare them for what we're going to ask of them. And we want to keep it in front of us and keep them moving forward. Not get, when I say in front of us, you just don't want to do more than they're ready for physically or mentally, and so that they can develop into who they were meant to be. And I think that that is some of this year's accomplishments. We're extremely proud of that. You know, you mentioned Matoli and Midnight Basu and the level that they reached their four-year-old year. And we also had She's a Julie and Mia Mischief win their first grade ones as four-year-olds. And that kind of development and them allowing them to reach that level their four-year-old year is something we're very proud of.
How long does it take you to kind of determine if a horse has the ability, and I won't say that you'll know definitely that horse is going to be elite, but has the ability to be elite when you first start working with them?
I am very optimistic and feel that every one of them has the chance of getting there. And I think that's from growing up on the racetrack. You're just the next one, or, you know, the next Curlin, the next Rachel, the next Gunrunner, even knowing how basically impossible that is. But to me, in horse racing, you have to be optimistic from the beginning. And then we're very fortunate to have some that come through. But what sorts horses on at that level is who they are under those circumstances, taking that amount of pressure at that level and embracing who they are.
Well, you can see what makes him so good. He is Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen here on HRRN. Steve, I know you have a lot of things to get to today, so I'll ask you just for a quick update on Midnight Bisou. I think the plans from what I heard were to go to Saudi Arabia for the Saudi Cup, but I'll let you update us on that. And then Basin and Wicked Whisper, what are the situations there?
Well, all three are at the fairgrounds right now, and obviously the Saudi Cup, there is quite a few unknowns, being the first year running of it. Love the idea of Midnight Bisou at a one-turn mile and an eighth with the success she's had in one-turn route races at Belmont, very similar configuration of the racetrack. And it is a opportunity of a lifetime with a very special mare.
And how about Basin and Wicked Whisper? What are the plans for them moving forward?
We will. They're back in light training at the fairgrounds, and both of them being grade one winners at two. Obviously, we are going to map out a schedule that will get them back to Louisville the first weekend of May. Hopefully at their best.
All right. Well, Steve Asmussen here on HRRN. Steve, I'll give you one word of advice. Be careful taking Jeff Bloom with you over to Saudi Arabia. Just be a little cautious there. I've been on the road with that man for a lot of years here, so err on the side of caution.
We're looking forward to it. We are looking for what an opportunity this is, and we're definitely looking forward to it.
We'll be cheering for you. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the visit.
All right. Thank you.